He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday, record-setting Wednesday edition of the Best Stocks Now show on this October 29th. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And we're here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Why do I say record-setting? Well, you've got NVIDIA crossing the $5 trillion mark. How many zeros is that? A lot of them. You got the S&P 500 up 23 to 6,914 as it closes in on 7,000. The Dow is up 244 to 47,950, just a hair away from 48,000. And you've got the NASDAQ up 150 to 23,976, closing in on 24,000. These are all new, brand new record highs across the board on the indexes. The small caps being left behind in the dust today. They've been eating the dust of the large caps for quite some time. The small cap Russell 2000 is up a little. It's at 2506. Gold is selling off again. Should we be worried? The gold stocks are up, however, here so far today. The bond market on this Fed decision day, oh, no, there's not enough happening today. We've got to have a Fed decision also, 3.99. And last but not least, Bitcoin is down 2,880 to 112,626. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show on this record setting. Did I say Tuesday? It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, October the 29th, 2025. Do you know where your NVIDIA position is at? It's at $5 trillion plus today.
Amazing.
As Trump mentions that, yeah, I think NVIDIA might come up in the discussion with President Xi later this week on those Blackwell chips. And off she goes again. I'm the guy that called NVIDIA the best stock in the market now, and I have never rescinded that call. I'll have to look at the date of that article.
I was looking at them earlier.
I'll look that up and see how it's done. Since that call on that stock. Of course, it remains our largest position by far at Gunderson Capital Management, hitting $5 trillion. And you've got records across the board on the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P 500. After we hit 4,800 on the S&P 500 April the 8th, that's going to go down as one of the great calls of all time. I don't know how many people saw it or how many people read it, but I remember how dejected I was on that Friday when we hit 4,800 on the S&P 500. I was standing on the balcony saying, should I jump? It's only two floors. I probably would have survived the jump, but I didn't. Instead, I went to work. I rolled up my sleeves. I read that interview, and I had a whole different outlook on life after reading that interview. Well, and put out an article Sunday morning. Sunday morning I sent that article that the tariffs are going to work. This is a great buying opportunity, and boy, probably one of the greatest buying opportunities I've seen in all my years in the market, Barry.
Well, I mean, I was just going back to, with the last time we wrote that you wrote a NVIDIA-centric article was in June 20th of 2024. Of course, NVIDIA had already had its, over a year run since that one.
Yeah, that was a follow-up article.
Since you wrote that one, the stock's up over 60%. The S&P, I think, is up over 26%.
Now go back to the original article.
Yeah.
The prequel to the sequel, right? Okay, that's the one where we really backed up the truck and loaded up on NVIDIA. Well, we had a mild sell-off late in the day yesterday, but we did close at record highs. What's driving the bus this morning? I'm going to say Blackwell. Blackwell is at the helm. Those comments that Trump made about bringing up the Blackwell issue. Now, we don't know if it'll be favorable or not, but it almost seems like that's how we're going to get our rare earth elements is with the exchange of the Blackwell chips from NVIDIA. And, of course, that right now, you know what NVIDIA's market share is in China? Zero. Absolute zero. But they're doing just fine in other places around the world. And, in fact, NVIDIA was quite perky yesterday. I mentioned that in my my closing comments to everybody on the market close yesterday. I said, wow, what got into NVIDIA all of a sudden? It was up 4.8% yesterday.
And up over 4.4% at the moment.
Yes, and that's a breakout to all-time highs, which always is a pretty chart to look at. It's almost like a long pass into the end zone where, you know, the split end out races the safety, and he's wide open, and that pass is just perfect right on his fingertips, and he spikes it in the end zone. Now, I saw plenty of that during the Dan Fouts and Don Coryell years with the San Diego Chargers. And before that, of course, I grew up watching Don Coryell at San Diego State putting one quarterback after another into the NFL. There ain't nothing prettier than that arced pass landing right in the hands of a split end. I remember Isaac Curtis, who went on to have a great career with the Cincinnati Bengals. Man, he could get out there and outsprint those guys, and boom, quarterback throws it right. Usually it was on fourth and one that Coryell would
go for it. Yeah.
He was
pass on fourth and one.
And there's a picture in my room here, a framed picture of him standing on the sidelines with my former weight training coach in high school, Phil Tine. And Dan Fouts right there, they're calling another play on the sidelines there. This was when Eric Coryell went to the NFL with the Chargers. NVIDIA crosses over $5 trillion mark on upcoming Trump-Xi Blackwell chip talk. Did you find that original article yet? Keep looking for that, because, I mean, that last one was just like, hey, you know, here's an update.
Oh, well, there's a few different iterations.
Well, I go back to the one where I called it the best stock in the market now.
Yeah, that one, I think a stock's up 333%.
Okay, that's more like it. I don't want to hear 60%. I want credit for the whole enchilada there. And we've owned it that whole period of time. The semiconductor giant viewed as the biggest winner of the Wall Street AI boom. What was the date of that article, by the way?
We've got, you know, so you 8/29/2023. That's where, you know, that one was another kind of almost a follow up. It's gone up 330% since that day.
Now get find the original article where I called it the best stock in the market now.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so NVIDIA's up 50%. It's added $1.6 trillion in market value. And as I've watched CEOs of the year over the years, I would say Steve Jobs was probably the number one guy to go out there on stage and announce new products, and was quite a salesman himself. Today, it's Jensen Huang. I mean, Jensen Huang may be the greatest CEO of all time when you look at what NVIDIA has. And boy, when you buy NVIDIA, you're getting shares of all kinds of private companies that he's backed. I mean, you got to call him the king of AI. There is another gold rush going on over there in the San Francisco area in the Silicon Valley in them there hills, and it's Jensen Huang and all the picks and shovels that they're selling to these AI miners. Okay, not quite as exciting, but it is exciting. The 30-year fixed mortgage comes in at 6.30%.
That's far from the 7% that we've seen.
Yes, that's the lowest it's been in a year. And my hat is off to our Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, who has done a magnificent job. This has been one of the best years for the bond market in the last decade. It's up about 6.3% so far this year, which obviously pales in comparison to NVIDIA and the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ and the Dow, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what does a rising bond market do? It takes interest rates lower. You know, we've only gotten 25 basis points from the Fed. Hopefully we get another 25 today. But Bessent knows the markets. He knows the fixed income markets. He knows the equities markets, being a professional money manager for many years. He's got a net worth of about $100 million himself, maybe even more by now. Who knows? But he does have that 30-year mortgage down to 6.30. It's still too high. It needs to get down, you know, into the low fives for my taste. I think that would really help the first-time home buyer and the construction and building sector in the market. We'll see what we get from the curmudgeons at the Fed here today. When we come back, I want to just throw out a stat that's kind of stunning here. How have value stocks done over this last decade versus just the S&P 500? We'll be right back. Train they call the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Now, that's the first article I wrote. Now, we had owned it for a while when I wrote the article, because the title says NVIDIA remains the best stock in the market now. That was back on August 29th of 2023. The stock is up 331% since then. The S&P is up 53%. Since then, and I started the article off by saying I've witnessed a lot of earnings reports during my 24 years as a professional money manager. The vast majority of them have come within a few cents one way or another when compared to the analyst consensus estimates. But there's always companies that knock the ball out of the park. And I talked about, Bobby Thompson's famous home run, the shot heard round the world. And I called this the earnings report heard round the world at that time. That's what led me to write the article. And their earnings, that was the best quarter I've ever seen from any company. They had a 429% increase in earnings and a 101% increase in sales that quarter, which all just blew by analysts' expectations. I said it's still the best stock in the market now. And my favorite comment is this one. I got 106 comments. I like the voice of reason. He says 115 PE. Yeah, right, Gunderson. Buy at all time highs. I think I'll pass. Well, I'm glad he passed because it gave me stock to buy. And a lot of people.
That's what I love looking at. So that's why I was looking at the one. On June 20th, 2024, obviously the trade has been in place for over a year now, right, in that example. And like you said, you're still, hey, NVIDIA takes, this one's called NVIDIA takes the lead in the Silicon Valley Derby.
Yes.
Obviously, we were just talking about.
That's when it pulled ahead of Apple and Microsoft.
Yeah. And then yesterday we had Microsoft and Apple both hit, that $4 trillion mark yesterday. So they're still a race going on. Yeah, my funniest comment, I'll get it, I'll find it here in a moment, congrats, Bill, you nailed the top. Well, guess what, dude, the stock's gone up another 60% since that article.
Yes.
And the market's gone up 26%.
Well, I did have one of my followers in that first article say, Bill is a real deal. He has his own unique way in evaluating a company when it comes to investing in the stock market. I put out an $800 target price on NVIDIA. Of course, it's split. It's way surpassed that target because it's done a big split. This guy says, with the PEG ratio at just 2.34, that ain't bad. And that's what I've said all along. So it is good to go back and read these comments, because usually I draw lots of negative comments. When the S&P was 4,800, and on that Monday that article was published, or maybe it was Sunday, I think it was early Monday morning, I said the tariffs are going to work. Oh, that's got to be one of the most unpopular headlines and articles of all time. I can't even believe, you know, it was like, kick this guy off of Seeking Alpha. This guy is horrible, right? So anyways, look, I don't like to gloat or brag. It's a fact. A fact is a fact, okay? And the stock has done what it's done, and we still own the stock, and it's become our largest position. And there's NVIDIAs out there, other ones that come along. You just have to be have your ear to the ground. And later on in the show, we'll talk about Verizon and Kraft Heinz, okay? Because we have to always do comparisons with soggy and vibrant. Okay, now let's look at the other news here in the market. There's a lot more, obviously, than just NVIDIA passing across the $5 trillion. Value investing, and you know, when I do my workshops, I always say, look, there's a whole class of investors that are value investors, and there's usually a whole class of investors that are more on the momentum side. You know, I'm in the middle. I want momentum and growth, but I want it at a price that I can still make sense from a five-year target price. So I'm right in the middle combining the two. But the strict value investors have far underperformed the S&P 500. This style is very much out of favor. And I can tell you, pure value investing, that is, I can tell you that when people transfer their portfolios to me, I mean, just yesterday, I saw several value ETFs, value-bent ETFs, value-oriented mutual funds come in, and I get rid of them. Why? Because it's done about half of what it can't even keep up with the S&P 500 these days. Is value investing dead? No, I wouldn't say that. But I think you have to throw in a momentum element into it to improve value investing. Over the last 10 years, the Vanguard Value Fund, VTV Index, has done 11.4% per year. The S&P has done 22.8% per year. So really one half, and even over the last 12 months, the value index is up 9.6 and the S&P is up 17.2. So it continues to be about half of what the S&P 500 has done. And I just think it's because we've had so much innovation over the last 10 years. That it's really chewed up and spit out, you know, your lower PE stocks that are growing by 4, 5, 6%, which there's plenty of out there. Now, obviously, when eventually these high growth stocks have a big correction and it's time to roll out the defense and take the offense off of the field, the value stocks will outperform because they don't go down as much. But is that really a reason to be invested in low PE stocks because they don't go down as much during a sell-off in the market? No, that's a terrible reason to own value stocks. The converse of that is they far underperform the market on the upside when you have a bull, which we've had here since 2009. The bull market, just look at a chart, look at a monthly chart, began in 2009. And these people that are saying that the bull's now 3 years old, no, that's bull. It's 16 years old. Okay, we're going to get earnings from Alphabet tonight, Google. It's been awfully perky lately. Microsoft's going to report tonight. I would call this Super Wednesday. And Meta is going to report tonight, along with Starbucks. And we've already had several here today that we'll get to. And then, of course, tomorrow we're going to get Apple and Amazon. So I think the Big Seven will be in by that point in time. Eli Lilly and Walmart bring retail pickup option with DTC, direct-to-the-consumer pricing, for Zepbound. I think that's a pretty big thing for Zepbound. You know, I mean, as it is now, you can't, I don't believe you can get it at a pharmacy. Maybe you can. But with Walmart now carrying it, of course, you have to have a prescription. But now you can go right to a Walmart and pick up the miracle weight loss drug, Zepbound, starting at $349 per month. We'll be right back. I don't understand anymore. We
Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much, and he won't play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the first stock to go under the microscope here today, Barry, I got out my microscope here during the break, and I've got Boeing all teed up here. BA has reported, you know, they're still losing a lot of money. They're going to lose $20 per share this year. Well, they lost 2024 last year, 2024. This year they're going to lose $7 per share. They're hoping to return to profitability by next year at $3.24. That's the estimates for 2026. The quarter that they just produced, their sales were up 30%. That's good. The same comparable quarter last year, they lost $10.44 per share. That's just in a 90-day period of time. This year, they only lost $7.47 per share. So you could say that's 28% growth in earnings. I don't consider it growth in earnings. It's a smaller loss than what they lost last year. But the trajectory is definitely on the upwards trend here. Moving back, the needle's moving back towards positive. They seem to have their troubles worked out until the next one comes along, if there is one. The stock, the chart is not very good on Boeing. And if we look at the two big factors that I look at, number one is their performance or their track record over the years. And, of course, the last decade has not been kind to Boeing. If you invested in Boeing 10 years ago today, you've made 5.5% for the risk you've taken, while the S&P has delivered 23.2%, and you've had some really bad years thrown in there at Boeing. And in fact, in 2024, the stock was down 32%.
You would have had some sleepless nights holding on to that one.
Yes, okay. So you might say, well, does it belong in the value portfolio? Well, I've looked at it several times as a candidate for my value/relative value portfolio. The problem I have with it, the other half of my equation is the next 5 years. Yes, it's really important to look at the last 5 years, but it's all about the next 5 years at this point in time. And while I think the next 5 years will be a lot better for Boeing, barring any kind of big mishaps, I still just don't see that much upside potential in the stock. When I take that $3.24 and extrapolate it out, I'm using 8% a year over the next 5 years. I come up with the 5-year target price of 319, which gives it 42.9% upside potential over the next 5 years. And when I compare that against all other stocks out there, it gets an F valuation grade, an F. So I personally, we don't own any Boeing at all. We have owned it maybe several years ago. It's definitely, it's had a good year. I mean, over the last 12 months, it's up 44%. It's made a nice comeback. The runway over there at Boeing is just littered with planes ready to be delivered. And the order book is pretty thick right now. They've got a lot in their pipeline.
The AI trade is looking strong today. I'm looking at the power companies
because of that Nvidia
story as yesterday. Yeah.
Yes, because of that Nvidia news. So Boeing to me is a total pass. I'll take a pass on that one. even though I love the company, I love the people that work there. I talk to a kid almost every Sunday. He's a mechanic that works over at the Boeing plant. I have several friends. I have one friend that he literally is one of the last guys to check off a plane before it's delivered to its destination. So I have ears on the ground over there. But as far as a investment right now, it just doesn't have, to me, I think a lot of that optimism has been built into the stock at this point. I'm not going to tell you to sell your Boeing, but as far as new money goes, I just think that there's a lot better stocks out there right now. It wouldn't be in my top 25. It wouldn't make my playoff, my all-star roster, my midsummer field of dreams of stocks, the best in the market now. Okay, the next one under the microscope. This is a classic dividend trap. What do I mean by a dividend trap? Well, I'll tell you what I mean by a dividend trap. If I read one more article in Seeking Alpha about retire on this dividend yield, it's going to make me sick. Before today, Verizon had a dividend yield of 7%. You say, well, Bill, look, if I can get 7% while I'm waiting for the stock to come back, that's a pretty good deal. Well, you have to throw in the capital appreciation or capital loss along with that dividend yield, which produces what we call total return. And in the app, it was very important to build that into the app, not just dividend. Oh, how can you pass up a 7% dividend yield? You know, I'm only getting 4% on my CDs in the bank. Yes, but how has Verizon done on the stock side of that equation? Well, to get the answer to that, we look at total return. And the total return on Verizon, even with that big fat dividend, has been dismal, okay? Over the last 10 years, you've got a return of 3.7% out of Verizon. 3.7%, while the S&P is 23.2%. Now, I know somebody out there's got Verizon in their portfolio, and they're going to call up their broker afterwards and say, why do you have me in Verizon, VZ? Well, I don't know why they would, but over the last 5 years, you've lost money in Verizon. Why? They continue to lose sales to everybody. I mean, and market share to everybody. You know, it comes down to internet and their telephone service, right?
Yeah, I mean, the stock price was, I mean, it's a great example, actually. I mean, the stock price was $44.23 10 years ago. Right, it's $40.17 now.
Yeah,
that's telling you that all of the return that you've gotten during that span has been strictly the dividend
minus the capital loss in the stock.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And why? It's because of what you've mentioned in terms of growth prospects. Right. I mean,
earnings.
Well, it's a saturated business, right? I mean, of course, nowadays, how many people? You know, you take kind of their core business in terms of cell phones. Well, how many people now have cell phone in the, you know, in the U.S. market and beyond, right? A lot of people, right?
They're a service provider.
Yeah.
So, you know, look, over the last 5 years, their earnings have gone down by 3% per year, negative. And this quarter that they just produced, you heard me talk about, the greatest quarter of all time that I saw was NVIDIA. This is just an average quarter for Verizon. Their sales up 1% and their earnings up 2%. Well, but it pays a 7% dividend, Gunderson. Well, go ahead and buy it. I don't really care. You know, it's also a member of the Dow, which helps bring the Dow, you know, to a underperforming the S&P 500. The Dow has underperformed the NASDAQ by a wide margin. But, you know, the Dow isn't really built for performance. I'll give you that. It's built to mirror our economy. And Verizon at $169 billion is a big player in our economy. AT&T and Verizon basically share 50-50, I would say, the telecom service business, which is not a very profitable business. AT&T, over the last 5 years, their earnings have gone down by 8% per year. You know the axiom, and I believe it's true, that stocks follow earnings. If you've got minus 8% per year in earnings growth, you're going to have a negative return on the stock plus the dividend. And that's what you've got in Verizon, and that's what you got in AT&T. AT&T is a 4.3% dividend. Verizon's a 7-point dividend. But I wouldn't own either stock because of the stodgy old growth giants of yesteryear. I mean, these companies reek with that stench.
And for those who can't get away from the yield, right, it's this shiny object that you just can't, you can't not invest in. Just, do health checks to it. If it pays a dividend, see if it recovers that dividend before the next time it pays a dividend.
Exactly. You're getting back your own money and then losing on the capital appreciation is basically what that is. We'll be right back. Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we're talking about some best stocks now and some worst stocks now, Barry. And, look, the growth giants of yesteryear is what I call them. They're great names. You load your shopping basket with their products, on a weekly basis. You use their products on a daily basis. That's one thing they all have in common. I mean, Kraft Heinz, okay? We're going to put it under the microscope. I believe it's in the Dow, okay? I'd have to look that up. I don't have those 30 Dow stocks memorized. They change often from time to time, but I do believe that Kraft is in the Dow. I can do even worse. Can you do worse than Verizon? Yes, you can do worse than Verizon. You could own Kraft Heinz.
Unfortunately, yes, you can do worse.
Okay, so, as I said, I invented the Best Stocks Now app for my use as a professional money manager. I didn't want to hire 12 analysts to vote at the conference table on whether we liked the stock or not. I wanted to go quickly. I move very quickly in this business, but, carefully, very methodically. It's all I got to do. Over the last 10 years, an investment in Kraft Heinz has lost 6.5% per year. Lost. You've lost money in it. Over the last 3 years, you've lost 7% per year. And over the last 12 months, it's down 23%. KHC. And yet, that's another one. I see it in numerous. I've seen it over the years in numerous portfolios that have come to me from usually the big wirehouse firms. Because it's Kraft Heinz. I mean, who hasn't slapped a thick slice of American cheese on a cheeseburger lately, right? Or hasn't poured a little slow ketchup on their French fries? We all use the product, and we all know the product, and you think, boy, I'm glad I own some of that stock. Look at this shelf here at Walmart. It's just full of Kraft Heinz products. But there's a difference between the brand and the product, and the stock as an investment. I get pretty passionate about this, as you can tell, because I just hate soggy stocks. I've gotten a lot of soggy hamburgers with soggy buns, and you know, I remember going out fishing and tracking in soggy in my soggy sneakers coming back from a day of fishing and squeaking as I walked through the kitchen there and messing up the kitchen and tracking in all kinds of stuff, you know, on the bottom of my shoes. Clam digging's really bad for that. You go out and or oyster. I tried gathering oysters one time. Those things are like razor blades. I don't want to have anything to do, whatever it costs to buy an oyster, I'm happy to buy a sack of oysters. Harvesting your own oysters, which I've got them right here behind my house. I have an oyster bed. Those things are like razor blades, okay? So God bless the oyster harvesters. Anyways, Kraft Heinz is just a horrible, soggy stock that's gone nowhere. It's lost money holding this stock. Think of the opportunity cost in holding a stock. Well, you could say, well, the deep value guys maybe are looking at it right now. Well, I show that it has 58% upside potential. That's if it can grow at 5% a year, which I don't think it can. I think that's even too generous for Kraft Heinz. So a very, very, very soggy stock, in my opinion. And if you own Kraft Heinz, God bless you. What's the dividend yield? It's probably fat. They got to do something to keep people invested in the thing. KHC has got a dividend yield. Now, usually you'll find it fat, 6.5%. And it's in headquartered in Pittsburgh, PA, where we have our show every day.
Buffett still have a sizable position in that?
Probably.
I believe so.
Probably. I mean, these are the kinds of stocks. I mean, he obviously made a lot of money in these stocks during their heyday. And but you can see what value investing. I mean, look, you're looking at a low P.E. ratio. The P.E. is 9. Well, we should be buying that. The P.E. on NVIDIA, by contrast, is 56 right now. How can you buy a 56 P.E.? Because one stock is breaking out to new all-time highs today, surpassing $5 trillion, still has about 80% upside potential. While the other stock is hitting new lows, is growing at low single digits at best. That's why, yeah, Kraft Heinz is breaking down and hitting about a 10-year low today. Okay, kick it out of the Dow if it's still in there. Their sales were down 2%. Their earnings were down 19%. That's not the stuff that a Best Stocks Now is made of. It may taste good on a cheeseburger off the grill. Enjoy that, okay? But the stock is not a good stock at all. All right, let's see. We got time for maybe one more here. Under the microscope, let's see. We got Visa that's reported. We have Booking.com that's reported. GE Healthcare that's reported. Bloom Energy. You know, I don't own Bloom Energy, but there's one popping. Let's do Caterpillar. Caterpillar is a good
crazy
stock.
Yeah.
It's an excellent stock. I'll let you, generator. That's your homework assignment.
Yeah.
Download the Best Stocks Now app. I think that's one of the free stocks you get. Look up the 10-year, 5-year, 3-year, 1-year performance, and then look up the valuation on it. And I think you'll find a much better, more vibrant large cap stock than what you got there in Kraft Heinz and in Verizon VZ. All right, and Pittsburgh is on. I haven't made the lineup yet, but I think it might be on the back of that T-shirt for the Gunderson Tour in 2026. Pittsburgh is a place we haven't been yet, along with Houston,
yeah.
And New Market in Atlanta and Columbus, Ohio. We definitely got to go visit Ohio State, who's still undefeated and number one out there. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, you look at your portfolio and ask yourself, am I in good stocks now, even good stocks now, not bad stocks now? Give us a call at 855-611-BEST to set up an appointment and get a review on not only your portfolio but your financial plan. Without a plan, you're planning to fail. You should not fail to plan, because then you'll plan to fail. All right, and if you'd like to get a four-week trial to our newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.